Om Shanti. 7th June 2019, Friday. Today's slogan: those who have a right to self-sovereignty at the confluence age will claim a right to the kingdom of the world in the future. So those who have a right to self-sovereignty, Swarajya Adhikari, at the confluence age will claim a right to the kingdom of the world, Vishwarajya Adhikari, in the future. So those who are self-sovereign now, they will also claim the right to world sovereignty. Those who are Swarajya Adhikari now, they will become Vishwarajya Adhikari in the future. So this is the confluence age. This is the golden age. So one of the important tasks of confluence age is to become self-sovereign. Self-sovereign means mastery of one's own self-mastery or self-control or self-restraint or self-constraint or self-discipline or self-training. So whatever you call it, or mastery of all the senses. So those who master all their senses now, they will master the world in future. Those who control themselves now, they will control the world in future. Those who have restraint now, they will have unrestrained authority over the world in future. Those who train themselves now, they will train the world in future. So without self-mastery, no spiritual life is impossible. So self-mastery, self-discipline, self-control is one of the most important thing in the spiritual life. And the graph of self-mastery should go on increasing every day. And when we talk of senses, it doesn't mean just the 5 senses, but 3 subtle senses: mind, intellect, and sanskars. So these are the subtle senses. To have control over the subtle senses, and then to have control over 10 other senses: Gyanendriya and Karmendriya. Baba often talks of, Baba never talks of Gyanendriya, he talks of Gyanendriya as Karmendriya. So to have control over all the senses, to have control over the subtle powers, over subtle senses, is to become self-sovereign, is to become self-controller. So those who become king here, they will become king in the future. Those who have the kingdom here, they will have the kingdom there. Those who are subjects here, those who are slaves here, those who are weak here, those who cannot control themselves here, it's impossible for them to control the world. So this is a very subtle purushartha of controlling the senses. So one is mind, then intellect, and then sanskars, and then gross senses, which is the most difficult thing to control out of this. Yeah. Why? They are automatic, they are in the subconscious mind, and they work on their own. The moment they get the trigger, they come out and they start working. Then whatever you have done in the, if this is the mind, just 1/9 of that is the conscious mind. The subconscious mind is occupying 1/9 portion of that. So whatever memories, whatever habits, whatever sanskars, whatever deep-rooted emotions which are here, once they come out, then they throw away all the rules and regulations, all the Srimat, all the Maryadas, everything, because they are very powerful. That's why one must understand what are my most deep-rooted sanskars. And the most important thing is their knowledge that such a sanskar exists. Most of us, because this is a very dark corner, nothing is visible. You have to enter the subconscious mind with a torch in your hand. And only that portion is lighted where you flash your torch. When you are seeing this portion, you can't see other things. When you are seeing this portion of the subconscious mind, you cannot see other things. This is the memory of person A and this is the memory of person B. So when you are thinking about A and things associated with A, probably you are not thinking of other things. And suppose there is a hurt. Suppose hurt or traumatic memories. So these traumatic memories have a very special place here in the subconscious mind. I mean, there are so many other layers. One might not remember unless and until one enters and goes with a torch, or someone else come to us and shows the torch. That someone else might be sanskars. To control sanskars means to understand sanskars. To understand deep-rooted emotions, deep-rooted feelings, habits, addictions, and to accept that they are existing. When they exist, then only, when you know of their existence, then only you can work on that. Because on the conscious level, it is most difficult to access, to enter this dark storehouse of the subconscious. Because it is storing not just the things of one birth, but many births. And it is sometimes very dreadful to enter this dark portion of the mind. First it is very difficult, and then it is sometimes dreadful. Because the moment you enter, some dark things come out, which you don't want, and you want to shut it, and you remain happy here. But then they have a tendency to come out. The moment they get a trigger, they will come out. 10 years back, somebody had hurt someone, and now that person is not seen in the last 10 years. And this person has made visibly strong progress in spirituality, and suddenly that other person comes in front of the man, and you find the same feeling of revenge is arising again. So from where it has risen? So it was in the subconscious mind. So the process of cleansing subconscious mind is to keep on pouring pure thoughts, to keep on pouring pure thoughts, strong thoughts. The process of entering subconscious mind is not through words, but it is through visualization. To visualize and to say that I have a pure mind is gradually you are purifying the subconscious. So controlling sanskar sometimes is the most difficult thing. Controlling intellect, yes, because intellect is filled with ego. Lot of egotism is in the intellect. Intellect The moment we achieve something, we become egoistic. The moment we learn something which others do not know, we become egoistic. The moment we get something which others don't have, we become egoistic. The moment we start doing something in a better manner, we become egoistic. Ego is subtle, very subtle. So even to control intellect, that's why Baba says, whatever you have got, think of it as if it has been given by Baba, and you have to utilize that speciality of yours for service. Then mind. Mind is very restless. Mind has got three functions. What are they? Psychology says mind has got three functions. Mind has got three functions. Thinking, wanting, and feeling. These are the three functions of mind. Wanting means desires. Mind keeps on desiring something or other. Mind feels and mind thinks. Rather, when we think, it is mind. Rather, when the soul thinks, it is mind. Soul, mind, intellect, sanskar, they all are one thing. When the soul is thinking, it is mind. When the soul is feeling, it is mind. When the soul is desiring, it is mind. When the soul is judging, it is intellect. And when the soul is forming some impressions on itself, it is sanskar. So it is only one thing, but given three names. It's not that mind is different. This is the new concept which has been introduced by God. Till the time, in the path of bhakti, they said, soul is here and all else is here. The soul remains untouched. Soul is beyond everything. Baba said, no, soul, mind, intellect, they are one. They are not different. And that is the main difference. That's why in today's Sakar Murli, Baba said, bhakti is an imitation. Gyan is real. Bhakti is an imitation. Gyan is real. So this concept is an entirely new concept. Nobody ever in the history said that mind is in the soul. The most famous philosophy of dualistic, non-dualistic Vedanta by Shankaracharya talks about this, that this is different. Mind is different. These are all here. When you go beyond everything, you reach soul. That is what is Nirvikalp Samadhi. So they talk of this, but Baba doesn't talk this. Baba talks something else. Baba said this mind, thinking, feeling, desiring, everything is in the soul. That's a new thing. So to control mind is to control thinking. Or rather, when we say control, it becomes a difficult. When you say control, it is somewhat a difficult word. Better word is transformation. Transform your thoughts, transform your desires. Desires would continue. It's not that you stop the desire. It's not that you come to a standstill and the mind is thoughtless. It will not happen. Thoughts, you transform the thoughts from low, base, bestial, mean, to higher, elevated, lofty. You transform the desires, those selfish desires, you convert into selfless desires. What I can do for the world. And third, thinking, desiring, and feelings. Rather than becoming an emotional plaything, rather than becoming a crying box, rather than becoming a crying baby, Baba wants your feelings should be for a higher purpose. Rather than attaching and getting a sensitive person who is at the beck and call of someone else, who is at the mercy of someone, become your own master of feelings. So, transformation of sanskars, transformation of thinking, transformation of feelings, transformation of desires, transformation of intellect. This is what Baba wants. So this is at a control at a very subtle level. The gross control is at 5 level. Sight, smell, sound, taste and touch. Roop, ras, sparsh, shabd, gandh. So these are the 5 levels of control. The weakest among this is smell. And the strongest among this is taste or eyes. What about sight? Which is the strongest among 5? Taste. Taste is the strongest. You can control sight many times, but to control taste is a difficult job sometimes. So what we see with our eyes, how much control we have. And it is not the eyes which are seeing, it's the soul behind the eyes. So what desire soul has got, it depends. Soul sees, eyes are just the instrument. But yes, if something enters through the eyes, then it has got effect on the soul. Actually we see what the soul has got, but soul is also influenced by whatever we see. That's why a yogi's eyes are very stable. A yogi's eyes have control. A yogi's eyes are not fluctuating from this place to that place. So control over eyes, and then control over sound means ears. What we hear. Do we enjoy hearing parachintan, paradarshan? Do we enjoy hearing gossips? Do we enjoy hearing somebody's fall? Because it is the soul that enjoys listening to something from outside. The soul should be trained to hear the soundless, that which has got no sound. The soul should be trained to hear that which is wordless, that which is not the sound of this world, that which arises beyond, without friction. And for that, soul has to enter into the stage of silence. Without becoming silent, you cannot hear the inaudible. The task of spirituality is to hear the inaudible, to hear the soundless, to hear the wordless, to feel the impalpable, to touch the untouchable, to see the invisible, to feel the unfelt, the intangible. So this is a very subtle process. So everything depends on what is going on here. So what sounds I hear? Control over that. Control over ears. And then third, speech. No speech. This is not sound. Smell. Sight. Taste is not here. Speech is not here. Speech comes in karmendriya. These are gyanendriyas. Sound, that is, this we are talking of. So here will be the taste. So here it is the sight. What we see with eyes. The third control is at the level of eyes. Eyes are very deceptive. So Baba often says in Murli, eyes are number one. They become criminal. So your task is to convert your criminal eyes into civil eyes. To see the body is to commit crime. And to see the soul is to do an act of charity, punya. So sight, what we see with these eyes. And then taste. Why taste is so difficult to control? why taste is so difficult to control. That is the taste gives instant pleasure. So, why it is so difficult to control? But taste is the most addictive thing. The addiction with sound is not much. You like one sound, one song very much, but if you don't listen to that song, it's okay. You don't miss. It's okay if you don't miss. You can. If you don't smell something, it's okay. You can go ahead without smelling. If you don't see somebody, it's okay. His picture is in the mind. If you don't touch, it's fine. You can go without touching. But what about taste? Once you have tasted something and you loved it, then you want the same thing. The addiction which is created by tasting, taste sense, is the most difficult. And you have to do it every day. And that's why it has become, so a lot of addiction, a lot of dependency is there in the sense of taste. But yogi is the one who has mastered his taste. And when you master taste, you master all other senses. Because they become very weak when this is mastered. But this is the most difficult thing. In the autobiography of a yogi, Swami Yogananda, mentions about Giribala. Anybody has read the book? Autobiography of a Yogi, Yogi Kathamrit in Hindi. In that, there is one chapter. The name of the chapter is Non-Eating Saint. And her name is Giribala. So the author visits her somewhere in Kolkata, some suburb, some small village. So he goes with a foreigner to visit her. And in that village, that was the first time that the car entered. They write the experience. And that was a lady, old lady, living a unknown life in that village. And it is said about her that she did not take anything from last 50 years when they visited in way back in 1930s. So she hadn't taken anything. And they mentioned when she was very small, that girl was a voracious eater. She used to eat all the time. So when she was married and she entered her mother-in-law's house, mother-in-law scolded her once. You keep on eating throughout the day. So she became angry and she said, I will not eat again. And she stopped eating after that. Probably she got one guru and who gave her something, mantra or something. And then she never ate. And a lot of experiments were done and close watch was done. And she was asked, do you eat something? She said, nothing. She doesn't even drink water. She doesn't. This is a miracle on earth. It's impossible to live. But then, as I said before also, there were yogis who stay in Himalayas where you don't get any fruits, nothing. And they survive for years. That's how they used to do tapasya. They are known as Surya Yogi. They derive all the nutrition just from sun rays. They are known as Vayu Yogi. They derive all the nutrition just from air. How that is possible, I don't know. But that is said. They survive for a very long time just on the sun rays. We had one brother who survived for 1 month or more than that. Just he used to stand in front of the sun and he used to take those rays. That's it.
Water.
Nothing. So these are some of the miracles. How much true they are, how much scientific they are, we do not know. Because a lot of scientists have done research on such people. And they were perplexed to find that even such a thing is possible. But Baba mentions often mentions who was caught. Baba mentions one sadhu of Ahmedabad. In Murlis it comes. So, he used to eat jaggery. So, we don't have to go to that extreme, but at least one should have control over senses. few days back there was a Murli where Baba said, Naati Ucham, Naati Necham, you should be moderate in everything. So moderate diet, that's more important. One is not to speak at all, that is silence. It's quite easy. Another is speech, it's also easy. Difficult is balance. To speak less is more important, difficult than to not to speak is very easy. But to speak less is difficult. Not to eat at all is very easy. To keep fast is very easy. But to eat less, this is a difficult task. So balance. So control of test. And fifth, control of touch. Even touch is very addictive. Why? Touch also is a very deep-rooted sanskar. The touch of the body generates release of endorphins. Hug, caressing, all those things, they release endorphins. That's why there is so much attraction for touching each other in the world. There is actually nothing in that person. A is touching B. There is nothing in the B. It is just a clump of soil. But yet A enjoys touching B and B enjoys touching A. Why? Because scientifically speaking, there is a release of endorphins, neurotransmitters from the brain. When a person whom somebody loves is touched, endorphin is released on both ends. And that's why that release of endorphin is just like release of nicotine. Nicotine also does the same thing, and alcohol also does the same thing, and that's why this is also addictive. So anything, it gives the pleasure of immense pleasure throughout the body, and that's why this is also a very, very addictive thing. So control of five senses, very important. One must have sankalp that I don't want to lead my life astray. I want to be a man of control. I want to be a yogi with the highest amount of self-control. Even this thought is enough. Because to have control means to be strong. And the person whose life is in no control, he gradually becomes weak. So Baba said, those who have right to self-sovereignty at the confluence age will claim a right to the kingdom of the world, Vishwa Rajya Adhikari, in the future. Om Shanti.